Warning, the following episode includes spoilers.
For?
Multiversity.
The Multiversity.
Written by... Grant Morrison. But more than that, Ben has other news for you.
Yeah, also, we're not doing our events for this group episode. Normally, we'd be talking about Secret Wars 2, Crisis on Infinite Earths, and Evolutionary War. But this is going to be a shorter episode, just talking about one issue of a comic book that just came out recently. And, yeah, so we will be talking about those next time we have a group episode.
Just pretend we're not all together tonight.
But we are, with complete spoilers, all the way until the end of this issue.
Yeah, we spoil the first page and last page.
Including the reference to Captain America.
There's a reference to Captain America?
Well, you'll find out, won't you?
I guess so.
Episode 15, Grant Morrison's Multiversity. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Comic Book Time Machine. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben Avery.
I'm Daniel Butcher.
And we're all time travelers.
All time travelers, and all here to talk about not just time travel, but the multiverse. Specifically, Grant Morrison's Multiversity, the long-anticipated miniseries from DC Comics.
Who was anticipating it?
I mean, it's been in the reason I said it, it's been in the works for years, like since before the New 52.
Yeah, I've been hearing about this for a long time, and I was kind of curious about it, too.
I think it was supposed to spin out of DC's series called 52, and then it never did.
Well, it couldn't. They didn't have time, because they were going from 52 into... what was after 52?
Year later?
They did Infinite Crisis and then 52 and then Final Crisis.
Yeah. And then Flashpoint and New 52. Right?
Yeah.
Pretty quick succession. Not right away, but pretty quick. But yeah. I started hearing about this and I was very curious about it because Grant Morrison, he's hit or miss for me. And mostly hit, though, as far as what I actually sit down and read. If it's going to be a miss, I'll sit down and then just choose not to read it. But I liked the Seven Soldiers of Victory and all those miniseries that went along with it. I really enjoyed that series. And I liked the Search for Batman or whatever that was, that kind of time travel thing after Batman died.
And you liked that?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed that.
I did read that. That was a little crazy. Well, his run on Batman is supposed to be one of the better ones, but I don't think it was one of my favorites necessarily.
And see, I never read his run on Batman. It was literally just that, the Return of Bruce Wayne thing, and I bought it because I got a good sale on the hardcover. So I thought, oh, time travel, Batman, hardcover, good sale. I'll give it a shot. And I'm glad I did. I enjoyed it. It was weird, but I enjoyed it.
So speaking of weird, Daniel, I know you have some thoughts on this.
Well, I'm like Ben, I think Grant Morrison's either hit or miss for me. He's either brilliant or I just don't get it. And I don't know if that's his weakness as a writer or is my weakness as a reader. And because of the fact that it's hit and miss, I've been pretty cool towards the multiversity. I'll be honest, I didn't even realize until about 10 minutes ago that the next issue is not even called The Multiversity and is completely different.
Well, yeah, but it's like an issue of something happening in one of those multiverse universes.
Yeah, but... Yeah. It doesn't sound like it's this story, though, and this crew, and this Superman, and this Aquaman. It sounds like it's a completely different group.
I bet there's going to be some elements, though, because that's the way he did. That's the way he did Seven Soldiers of Victory. It was all about accumulating seven soldiers to do a big task, but then they all got their own miniseries under their own name. Where they were, you know, doing their own story as they were before they were pulled in, or as they were pulled into the.
So we're just repeating what we did before then.
Maybe we'll find out.
Here's a quick setup. So, you know, if you've listened to our big group episodes. We've been doing events at the end of that. We've been talking about different events. And so I've been covering Crisis on Infinite Earths. And so at that point in DC history, there were infinite Earths, as the title implies. Then they condensed down to one. But then the event Infinite Crisis expanded it to a multiverse, but not an infinite one. There were 52 different parallel universes. And so then that is where we went into the next series, which was called 52, and culminated with Final Crisis. So there's where we're at. We're at 52.
But there's but debate-wise, New 52, I thought until we had Earth 2 that we weren't supposed to have 52 Earths anymore.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. And they haven't announced this yet, but I'm wondering if the New 52 universe is just one universe in the 52 parallel universes, and that perhaps the pre-Flashpoint universe still exists then in this multiverse.
Well, that's something that I've heard people talk about. I don't think that's the case, because that'd be even more confusing, because in the New 52 universe, elements of the old universe are still existing.
Yeah, but that makes sense in a parallel universe. There's always
maybe
often similarities.
I wonder if they're using this multiversity series to introduce, like, what are all these 52 universes going to be? Because if you look on the side here of the cover, you can see 0 through 51.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the 52 universes, and they bold the number of the universes that they go to in this issue.
So is 0, do you think that that's us, or is that the New 52 universe?
Well, and that's something, you know, I haven't looked into it. I think it is meant to be the New 52 universe. But, because what do they always call it in the old comics continuity? Our universe was called Earth
Prime.
Earth Prime.
And then they had Earth S, and they had Earth 1 and Earth 2 and all that kind of thing. And so for this, I don't know, that 0, though, they visit 0 in this issue.
Yeah, it's... And you know, real quick also about, you know, going back to the original Crisis on Infinite Earth, there's a definite Crisis feeling. I'm only 4 issues into it right now, into that series. I'm kind of going back through, never read it before. But the idea that there is some higher power, or some great power, maybe not higher power like a god, but a great power who's recruiting a bunch of different heroes from the multiverse to stop something bad from happening, that's exactly what I'm reading right now in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's so many things that kind of go back to that in DC right now. It's like, that's the touchstone, I think, is what you're reading with the Crisis on Infinite Earths. That's the touchstone for everything that's happened since then. And I think they kind of use that as their get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, when, yeah. Oh, we need a shake-up, so let's do a crisis.
You know, I'm a little bit not worried. I'm not sure if worried is the right word, but you know, the 30-year anniversary of the original Crisis event is coming up here this coming April as we record. And they have these different events going on in DC with Future's End, and they have Earth's End, and now they have the Multiversity, which is going to be a limited series, a miniseries. And so what if they all culminate around the same time? In fact, we could probably figure it out. How many issues total would there be of Multiversity?
I think there's going to be eight.
See, here's the thing I question. You both are proposing a world, a universe, in which DC was planful and worked with Grant Morrison to make this series have an impact of whatever they're doing right now. Let me just throw this out here. Is it possible that this thing is just a thing by itself because Grant Morrison's been working on it for so long, DC had no idea when it would actually be released? Making it so that they couldn't plan?
I think that this started out that way, and then they kind of used this, and I think that some of this is going to has been twisted and turned and tumbled and shuffled to make it fit this idea of what I'm proposing, that this is how they're introducing a lot of these Earths. Because there's Earth 1, and Earth 1 is the New 52. That's what I think. I haven't looked it up on Wikipedia, but I think, in answer to your question, Matt, because Earth 2 is actually a series. Right?
Right.
Okay, yeah, so as I was thinking about Earth 2, I was like, well, duh, well, New 52 is Earth 1. So Earth 0 might be the same thing as Earth Prime, then.
I know that DC Comics, maybe internally or in interviews, they refer to the New 52 universe as Prime Earth. So they reverse the order, and not Earth Prime, but Prime Earth.
But so Prime is still one.
So maybe that's what I'm, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it is one.
So, and those one and two are not highlighted on this issue. But I think that as we get these, and I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay. Looking at the next issue, just looking ahead to the back page here, is going to be called Society of Superheroes. And there's all those numbers. Earth 20 is highlighted and Earth 40 is highlighted on the edge there. But I don't know if like that's actually what they're doing there.
That is correct.
So Earth 20 and 40 are not highlighted on this issue. So Daniel, you might be right. The next issue of Multiversity might have nothing to do with this, with the people and the events in this book.
Right. I'm pretty certain that Daniel is right about that. I've heard also that it's going to be just this first issue and then the final issue, and then in between there's just a bunch of multiverse stuff.
One shots, yeah.
Right, Daniel?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've got the bookends, like you talked about. One bookend is Multiversity. The other bookend is, I don't know, is it another Multiversity?
I think it's Multiversity number two.
Okay. So we've got those as bookends. And then the next one is the Society of Superheroes, then the Jest, then Pax Americana, then Thunderworld, Masterman, and Ultra Comics. And I mean, we're jumping around from Earth to Earth. You're right, Ben. The next one's about Earth 20 and Earth 40.
Yeah, I want to make sure. Did you confirm that it's Multiversity number two?
I have not confirmed that.
Okay. I couldn't tell from your list.
But I mean, it would make sense that it would be Multiversity number two. I'm looking here at a listing of them, and Multiversity number eight's not listed, but it talks about Multiversity as being the one shot, the bookends.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, this story needs to be concluded, so there needs to be a Multiversity number two.
Okay. I don't know if we want to keep on talking about this, but I did a quick check online. I've got the definitive answer. Here we go.
Let's hear it.
Earth Zero is also known as Prime Earth, and it's saying that this is – I think that that's the new 52 Earth that we usually watch.
That's Earth Zero.
Yeah. It says Earth Zero is created by merging Earth Zero, Earth 13, and Earth 50, which is Vertigo and – Wildstorm. So that we saw that happen in Flashpoint. So yep.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So New 52 is Earth Zero. Earth Two, like you said, we know who that is. They've listed some other ones, but I won't go into all of it. But just for the sake of finalizing this argument, Earth Zero, New 52.
Yeah, but what's Earth Prime?
So what's Earth One?
Earth One is it does say here this is the modernized interpretations of people like Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, and we actually read those.
The graphic novels.
Batman, Earth One, Superman, Earth One. And I think so that is in the multiverse according to Grant Morrison. That's Earth One.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense because they're labeled Earth One.
Exactly.
And so they're able to, like, okay, that's easy incorporation then for branding. Yep. All right. Okay.
It's interesting, though, because Earth One, those graphic novels started coming out way back in 2010.
Right.
So that means they just incorporated it into.
Yeah, they're just incorporating the branding here. Mm-hmm. The branding was already there, and it's like an easy way to, okay, well, now we can include this in our 52 universes.
And then if you read Forever Evil, you saw people from Earth 3 come over. So, I mean, the first four, 0 through 3, we've actually seen since New 52 started.
Okay. All right. Well, and that was maybe
we sold it.
Yeah, it's done. Okay.
But did we ever answer what Earth Prime was?
Yeah, Earth Prime is Earth Zero. They're one and the same.
Okay.
But they don't actually call it Earth Prime. They flipped it. They call it Prime Earth. All right. So, should we move on to the issue?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right.
Now, it should be said, this is the only thing we're talking about in this episode. This is a shorter episode, and we're going to kind of cover this issue because it came out and we all read it, basically. And so this is one of those where we're going back in time only 7 days or so. Maybe a little bit more than that, but yeah. So, Matt, you're the one.
Oh yeah.
You're the one to blame, or the one to praise.
There's a lot of blame because I bought an extra stuff when I was there.
Yeah, that's your own fault. Daniel, just because you went in a comic shop to get this comic doesn't mean you had to buy anything else.
It was there, and it was shiny.
Well, so, yeah. Okay, here's the things I liked about it. And we'll talk about some of the... One of the reasons I really wanted you guys to read it and so we could talk about it is I love parallel universe stories.
Me too.
I love the DC multiverse in general.
Generally, yeah, I do too.
I've been reading Crisis on Infinite Earths, and so I wanted to read this modern counterpart.
I've been listening to you read it, yes.
Yep, and so... who doesn't love getting sucked into hype? This has been hyped up for years. I mean, at least 2 or 3 years I've known this was coming, and before that I think there were early talks. So here we are to address the hype.
Okay, so where are we starting here? We open up the book, and what do we get, Matt?
Well, we open up the book, and we get a weird scene where there's, like, a bug.
It's a lady with lice, dude.
A lady with lice. And
I mean, that's what it is, right?
It looks like some sort of hair tick.
Yeah, it says life can flourish wherever life can be, you know, wherever life can take root, wherever life can flourish, you know, life will thrive. And what is it doing? It's pulling out. We're on like a little creature. Camera pulls away. And what are we looking at? A lady scratching her head with hair lice.
Everybody's head itches.
And
that doesn't really tie into anything else, does it?
Yes, it does. It ties in then to the seventh panel on the page, where you have people just walking across the city. And what do the people do? What are people like? They're like lice on the earth.
Oh,
that's
Thank
what that
you
is
for
doing
that positive
for us.
Image, Grant Morrison.
Yeah, yeah. And then the eighth panel there, not the eighth. Yeah, the eighth panel. See that little rectangle there, that's kind of around a crack in the building.
Yeah.
You zoom in on that rectangle, that's panel 9, and there's a bunch of little lice-like creatures there that are, you know, just infesting whatever that crack is. And I think we're supposed to believe that that is a crack in the universe, maybe?
Oh, I did not get that at all.
I don't know. I mean, that's me trying to interpret, you know, what am I looking at here? Because this whole time I'm reading this book, I'm asking myself with almost every page, what am I looking at here? And she's I don't think we ever come back to this lady.
Oh, nope. She is. If you flip the page, she is she makes a quick appearance.
Yeah, she walks
here.
Away on page
she walks
3.
Away, yeah.
Cuz she's trying to get rent from the character that we are following on page 2 then, who's reading comics.
Yeah, so he's a comic lover. He's talking to his local comic shop guy. They're actually messaging back and forth about Ultra Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And
the comic is supposed to be haunted.
Yeah,
don't read, because it literally tells you don't read this comic.
Yeah, this kind of scared me. Did this scare you guys?
No, why would it scare you?
I'm a grown man, Matt. Grown man.
It says, let me read this to you. It says, you think this is just a comic book, but it's bait. You're bait for them. You, do we have your complete attention yet? Whose voice is this speaking in your head anyway? Yours? ? And so at that point, I'm like, I don't even know if I want to turn the page. What if this is for real?
Daniel's saying the same thing too, but not. I don't think I want to turn the page, not because it's real. I think he's saying I don't want to turn the page because this is crap. I think it's. Am I putting words in your mouth, Daniel?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, all right. I'm just checking.
Okay, so we're introduced to this this young guy reading comic books, and then I think we go into the comic reading. Is
don't
that right?
Don't forget his monkey pirate sidekick.
No, that's in the comic. Is this guy who's reading a comic the same guy as the monitor?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and the comic he's reading is the previous page. Page 1, he's reading in a comic as this lady is knocking on his door.
Dude.
I think.
It's a comic.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
It's a comic, it's a comic.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, if you look at the panel, I didn't notice this before, but the guy reading comics has a little monkey doll next to him. And then you turn the page, and this guy is all of a sudden sort of a superhero.
Right.
And he has a monkey sidekick.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh. So are they the same person, or is it an extension of his
I think it's an alter ego. Because he's still reading the comic. But maybe, I mean, this could be all in his imagination, but I think it's meant to be his alter ego, and that he has a sidekick that is also has an alter ego. You know, it's Calvin and Hobbes type of thing.
So the character's name is Nix Wotan. He is a super judge. He is the last of the monitors. And his pirate monkey friend is named Mr. Stubbs.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah. Well,
no, for no reason, because Mr. Stubbs is an awesome name. Hello, Pirates of the Caribbean.
I actually don't. What is Mr. Stubbs? What is that?
He's the first mate, is he not, in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to go with yes, but I'm also going to go with I'm just saying that to move the conversation on.
Yeah, so the whole time that we see these two characters, we're still getting the narrator saying, continue to read, do as we tell you.
The choice is yours.
Yeah.
So, also told you to stop reading.
So, Ben, we've now arrived at Earth 7. Do you want to take it from here?
Earth 7. Yeah. Now, this is not the Earth. Okay, this is where I was really confused, but you're meant to be. I don't mind being confused when I read, as long as I'm not confused by the time I'm done. You know, that gives me enough information. This is just another Earth where there's different superheroes. There's the Thunderer, who I think is kind of a Shazam kind of thing, maybe.
Really?
I could see that. At first, I thought he was a Superman, but then, you know, Shazam is in a lot of ways like a Superman. So yeah, I'll go with that.
They've used Thunder and things like that to describe a Shazam type character before. It seems like I might be wrong about that, but I'm totally okay with it if I am wrong. But anyway, there's this weird creature with bat wings and a great big giant eyeball and not much else. And
called the Gentry.
Yeah, and it's kind of taunting them about their universe, and it's kind of just, you know, hey, you know, we're going to make the universe, we're going to make you guys like us, and I've got weird caption boxes and lettering and weird spelling. I'm very alien. You should be, you know, scared. And Thunderer is not going to back down. Thunderer is not going to back down. Why would he, right?
Right. Thunderer.
But
Thunderer doesn't back down.
But Nix Wotan, he sends Thunderer back. He says, go, get out of here. I'll take care of this. And we get some other weird creatures. These are all the lords. There's Electron, Demogorgon, Lord Broken, which is a house with eyeballs in it. Hell Machine, which is a three-eyed mouth. Dame Merciless, which
this makes sense.
A really creepy lady that's, I don't know, but they're.
I mean, I just want to say these are all really scary looking beings too. They're straight out of a Vertigo or a horror title. You know, I did wonder
the Demogorgon. I believe it's the Demogorgon that is like just a ball of people,
like bodies.
But yeah, just writhing bodies. And so, yeah, these are creepy, and I kind of like what I'm seeing because it's creepy.
I hate creepy.
Oh, well.
I don't want to go too far into this, but with Future's End, one of the villains is Brother Eye, and it seems like a lot of these villains have eye themes. I'm not saying there's a connection, but it's worth pointing out, so that's that.
Yeah. Dame Merciless, she has just dead eyes, and... Yeah, and they're just kind of saying there's no escape, there's no option. The anti-death equation is going to make you wish you'd commit suicide and all that. And then we get a panel where Nix, he's going to, you know, he's talking tough. He's, we're going to beat them. We're going to find a way. And then we get a panel where he's in bed in that apartment and he drops his comic book. His comic book seems to have some of those pages on there. There's also some pills that are falling. And a Rubik's Cube.
And at this point, this looks like this is happening simultaneously, almost like the Neverending Story. And so I'm wondering, is this all in this guy's head? And are the pills like a cue to us?
I don't know. I don't know. But you definitely... Actually, the comic book he's dropping, that page is the next page that we're going to turn to.
So, Daniel, do you want to take Earth 23?
Well, sure, because 23 is my favorite number.
Okay.
Michael Jordan?
No, Ryan Sandberg. Come on. The best athlete in Chicago history, buddy.
All right. Well, take the Obama chapter.
So, yeah. So, Obama Superman is fighting a robot. And,
well, it's not necessarily Obama. It's just an African-American Superman who also happens to be the president.
And his name is Calvin Ellis, so it doesn't even sound the same.
Cal-El.
Cal L.
No, I think there's definitely that we're supposed to think about Obama here, because Obama likes superheroes, and this is just, you know, letting Obama be Superman.
Yeah, and as he's fighting the robot, he talks to his AI sidekick, Brainiac, which lets us know that we're definitely not in our universe, since this Brainiac and Superman are working together. So he fights the robot, and then he goes back to his day job as the president, getting on Air Force One. And then he goes and he meets with the Justice League, with is that an African-American Wonder Woman and a Huntress? And yeah, I think that's maybe Steel and a Green Lantern and a Red Tornado and Batman. You got to have Batman. And they talk about this device that Lex Luthor has created to build a gateway to alternate worlds. And everybody's a little nervous about it, and a little nervous. And then Superman touches it because he likes to touch things that are shiny. And he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what else? 16, 17. We're 18 pages into a 48-page book with ads. And we're just now getting the title page. House of Heroes. Yep. DC Comics proudly presents The Multiversity, House of Heroes. Grant Morrison, writer, Ivan Reese, penciler, Joe Prado, inker, Ni Rufino, colorist, Todd Klein, letterer. That's good. Todd Klein.
Hey, and if I was to give DC some props on this, you know, this is a $4.99 book, and we're on page 18. On page 19, they didn't start 18 pages of concept art. So, thank you,
yeah.
DC.
No,
you're winning.
Instead, we go into this kind of place in between. We get a Death Star. Where is this Death Star located?
This is the Orrery of Worlds. I don't know how to say that word, but it's O-R-R-E-R-Y.
So you want to take that then, Matt?
Yeah, so
what's
here
going
we are.
On here?
This is, as I was saying before, in Crisis we had the Monitor recruiting heroes. Well, here we don't know who's recruiting, but we're in the location where they're all gathering. And so it does actually even look similar to where Monitor was based out of. So the first person that this Superman meets is Captain Carrot.
And here I'm thinking to myself, I could settle in here.
Oh, yeah. Captain Carrot's awesome. I'm a big Captain Carrot fan.
I love Captain Carrot. Daniel?
It gets
What's wrong?
Better because...
What's wrong, Daniel?
Ducks. Carrots.
What about?
Okay, makes sense.
Okay, so, yeah, Captain Carrot.
So then Captain Carrot explains what I've just told you, which is that they're being recruited. He also tells Superman that a lot of the alternate universes are, I don't know what the word is, they have windows into it through comic books. So this Captain Carrot, let's see here, he says, he got the idea from a comic book I created, my secret identity as Rodney Rabbit. And so then what he created in a comic book actually exists in a different universe. So this Superman's adventures have been seen in comic book form in other parallel universes.
And that's something Grant Morrison has addressed before, even in like interviews and stuff, that the universes that people create in fiction actually exist in other universes. And so like anything I've written, that's a universe somewhere. And the DC universe, that's a universe somewhere. And, you know, it's kind of getting into some quantum physics and stuff, but I think he's looking at it more metaphysically than scientifically. But it's getting into that idea. And it's interesting, too. This is where when he sees him, he's like, oh, you have an S-shield. Are you actually Superman or are you an analog? And he's like, I'm a Superman. Oh, cool. We don't get too many of those. So
yeah, there are some really cool things here. I mean, we meet... in a few pages from there, we meet some of the other recruits, and one of them is Aqua Woman. And I found out on this website she's from Earth 11, and on Earth 11, all of the characters are reversed in gender. So that's interesting. There's like if you ever watched Muppet Babies, you saw, you know, Baby Kermit, Baby Miss Piggy all doing adventures. Well, it looks like there's like a baby Wonder Woman and a baby Steel.
Yeah, that reminds me of X Babies. I went there before I went to Muppet Babies, but yeah. There's
I think this is a Swamp Thing, but they call him Spore.
Yeah, and there's the Dino Cop.
Oh yeah, Dino Cop, and he says when Superman asks him where they are, Dino Cop says some kind of cosmic precinct house is what we figured, interdimensional cops called the Monitors. They left this place abandoned.
Yeah, but here's he read that Superman's comic books when he was a kid. He loved it. But then the other thing is, I'm thinking about Savage Dragon. I see this character, and it's just, oh, you know, because Savage Dragon had the same look, different skin tone, but wearing the cop uniform.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Well, so, I mean, we'll get there, but
yeah, we'll get there.
Is taking from all the different comic book comic book companies, because I can't wait to talk about Marvel. So,
oh boy, yay!
So Thunderer, who we mentioned earlier, is also here with this in this House of Heroes, and then we get a hologram image of Harbinger. So again, this keeps on shooting us back to the original Crisis on Infinite Earths. And if you've been listening to my recaps, Harbinger was Monitor's sidekick, but here she is in basically AI holographic form, and she has some information about what exactly is happening. So Ben, do you want to summarize or read?
So Harbinger comes online and starts talking about asking him how long have I been asleep. The defenses are all dead. While I slept, this menace started to grow. Welcome. How can I assist you? And then they start asking questions, and they say, well, why are we here? Because multi-trillions of lives are at stake, because the threat is absolute, because the hour has come to summon the greatest heroes of 52 worlds. And Superman, okay, I'm game. Because he's Superman. I have to say, I like this Superman.
Oh, yeah, I do.
There's other characters that are in here that I'm not a big fan of. I like the Superman. I like this Captain Carrot. The corruption of the orrery is underway, and the multiverse needs you.
And so that's the word I said earlier. What is that? What is orrery?
Oh, boy, I wish I knew.
Is that like a bird cage?
That's an orrery.
Oh,
because before I thought that this location was called orrery, but now I remember that was wrong. I think maybe the whole multiverse is called that.
Yeah, look, if you look up orrery, you'll find it's a science fiction concept. It's a mechanical model of the solar system, according to your friend Wiki Matt. And it's basically like the picture they show there is kind of cool. It reminds me of the Dark Crystal, where that one weird witch lady had the model of the universe. It's kind of a clockwork kind of thing, and I think that's what we're meant to be thinking about, is this kind of clockwork model of universes.
And maybe we do need to call out the location where this is held, which is in the bleed space.
That's what I was asking about. We're in the bleed space. And that's kind of like in between universes, right?
Yep.
It touches all the universes.
Yep.
Well, the bleed is also known as the red skies. And red skies are an indication that some sort of crisis is happening in the multiverse.
That's right. Because red sky at night, sailor's delight. But red sky in the morning, sailors take warning.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly, but not exactly, but sort of.
So then we see some more comic pages that kind of just these comic pages are meant to reflect things that we're seeing, and I'm reminded of Heroes. I mean, how can you not be? Comics that kind of, as you're reading them, are showing you what's happening to yourself.
Yeah, it was cool. And the fake Flash named Red Racer just happened to have an Action Comic starring this Superman, and he reads the page where he joins the House of Heroes.
Right. So we've had confusing at the beginning, and now we have kind of ridiculous here in the middle, and it's almost ridiculous that I like to follow. I mean, you have Captain Carrot, and that makes everything good. You have Aquaman, or Aquawoman, rather, and this Aquawoman, that's cool, you know? But then they start traveling through universes, and this is also cool. I like the way that they travel through the universes, and that's by making the engine on their spaceship sing. Mm-hmm. That's cool, you know? That's that whole vibrations and kind of being able to use musical vibrations, and the music you play sends you where you need to go. I like that idea. It's really interesting.
And, in Final Crisis, which Grant Morrison also wrote, Superman actually uses singing as a weapon in that.
Okay.
So, but it has to do with tonal pitches, not just singing. But
yeah. Well, and that's the same idea here. And then they have their mission. They have their MacGuffin. And what's their MacGuffin?
Daniel.
No, they're attempting to get back to Earth 7.
Yeah, they need to find.
Oh, that's right. They have to save Nyx.
They have to find the Super Judge.
Yeah, they have to go back to Earth 7, which we totally forgot to mention. Also includes Captain America.
Earth 7 has Captain America?
Oh, yes, it does.
No, Earth 8 does, right?
Well, wait. Let's go back to Earth 7. What are you talking about?
Go back to the page.
I'm going back.
That says Earth 7.
I'm going back.
And then when you see Thunder getting introduced, look who's underneath
him. Oh, you're right. He's got a shield, and he has patriotic coloring.
And he's got a star on his head.
I did not see that.
Yeah, but and there's also a Wonder Woman back there.
Yeah.
And a Hellboy.
And a Hellboy. Oh, I didn't even notice that. Good call, Daniel Butcher.
And
that's
Vision.
What?
No, that's not Vision.
That's Superman back there. See?
No. Over. Right by Thunderer's left calf.
Yeah, that's
Drax the Destroyer, maybe?
It looks kind of like a Skrull / I think it could be Vision.
Okay.
So, we forgot.
So their goal is to get to their MacGuffin is to get to Earth 7.
But not so fast. They end up on Earth 8.
Right.
Dr. Doom.
Okay. And here I turn against the book.
So awesome. Wait, what did you say, Ben?
Here's where I turn against the book.
Oh, man. This is where I'm like, this is sweet. Because of the previous page.
This is fan fiction here.
No, this is so sweet. Okay. Look. Wait, two pages back. We've got what's that guy's name? Red Racer, who's like a Flash, and he's got his friend Power Torch, who is sort of like a Green Lantern, and they're talking to each other. And Power Torch says, "We already lost Optimum to Super Doomsday. I won't lose you too." And Red Racer says, "They need a geek for this. These guys don't know their DC from their major comics." So major comics is our Marvel comics because they probably can't use that. And here we are. Entering the major comics in Earth 8.
Yeah, okay. You want to talk about them quickly, though? Those two guys? All right.
Red Racer and Power Torch?
Yeah, do they have superpowers?
Well, it's Green Lantern and Flash.
But do they have superpowers?
I'm assuming they do.
I wonder. I was reading this and I was just thinking, they're cosplayers. Like, they need a geek, you know, and I'm just like, okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, that's just it. It feels like there is something wrong with it, the way they're portrayed. I just saw them as kind of like weak or whiny and just kind of, they need a geek and we're geeky, you know, and cosplayers. I felt like it was kind of, and maybe I'll be proven wrong in future, the way that they use the characters in the future, but I'm just kind of, as the way they're
what
portrayed
future?
Here.
What future?
Multiversity number two.
We're not going to even remember that question when it's time for Multiversity number two.
Yeah, we will, because they're either going to do something or they're not. So maybe we won't. But anyway, Earth 8. Matt, you like Earth 8?
Yeah, I'm a fan. So it sounds like you guys don't like Earth 8 featuring Marvel analogs?
It feels like bad fan fiction to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. I mean, that's the only problem with it. And I understand they're trying to do analogs, so they can't do the real characters.
Because they get sued.
Right. But then they kind of turn it into a joke. And then they aren't even necessarily... Like Crusader... I'll say this. I like the way they do his name. His name is American Crusader. And there's the USA in Crusader. And it's red, blue, and light blue. Because they can't do white. Because you wouldn't see the letter. But so just the USA in his name. But... Behemoth turns into a giant baby with a diaper.
Hulk smash.
Yeah, that's
Hulk smash. He needs his pacifier.
We're doing parody here. And is this meant to be a parody universe? Is that the thing? Because when you get into parody, I can take parody if it's meant to be a parody story, you know? But instead, I'm kind of getting... you know, we got all the serious stuff going on here, and then this universe is parody. And I guess you could argue that Captain Carrot's universe is parody as well, where it's all animals that have analogs with the superheroes. But
you know, I actually didn't see the diaper the first time, but yeah,
you're he's got a great big giant safety pin.
Hulk needs his diaper changed.
Yeah,
Hulk needs his bottle.
So then Red Racer mentions some of the other ones. So we've got the, you know, Machine Head, who is Iron Man. We've got Future Family, who is the Fantastic Four. The Bug, who is Spider-Man. G-Men, who are X-Men. I'm not sure who do you think Stuntmaster is?
Daredevil.
Daredevil?
Stuntmaster is Daredevil.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So
Dr. David Dibble.
And instead of the Avengers, they're the Retaliators fighting against not Dr. Doom, but what's this guy's name? I don't know his name, but he wants the Omni Gauntlets, the Genesis Egg.
Yeah, I get the impression he has the Lightning Axe of Wundigen, which I think you're looking at the Thor stuff there. Lord Havoc, that's his name.
Lord Havoc. Anyways, this is cool. So then the House of Heroes shows up, and it's basically them versus the Retaliators. But they have to come to some sort of understanding, don't they, Ben?
Well, you always have to come to some sort of understanding.
As Stan Lee says, the first time heroes get together, they fight.
That's what they do. And meanwhile, you know, you have the family fighting Lord Havoc. You know, so you have the two battles happening at the same time, which is not at all confusing. But what's the understanding that they get? It's basically Captain Carrot moves like a cartoon character. And Superman says, "Your universe is in danger. We're here to help." And so they go to help the, what is the family called? But it's too late. It's too late. And Lord Havoc has got all the power. I don't know what's the Hawkeye guy's name. Do they name him?
I don't think so.
They name him Purple Guy.
Yeah. Well, he shoots an arrow into Lord Havoc's eyeball and eyeballs, maybe. So I might go through one out the other, but
Watcher,
pretty bad news.
Yeah, and so then I don't get exactly how this happens, but as the Retaliators and the House of Heroes finally come to an understanding, what do we find? But turns out Nyx Uton.
Spoilers.
What spoilers? We're not doing spoilers.
Dude, this whole thing's been spoilers.
I know. We didn't do any kind of warning up front. We need to do that.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's time travel, so we can just travel back in time, and
we'll fix that later.
Yeah,
bad guys, and so is Mr. Stubbs, totally bad.
And that's the disturbing part, is poor Mr. Stubbs.
And they look evil, and their bodies are, you know, elongated and aged, and then what does the caption tell us to do?
Daniel, you must read this.
Reader, what have you done? Pray it's not too late. They're in your head. Do as you're told. Put this book down now.
And I wanted to say, well, why didn't you tell me that up front?
They did tell you up front.
You literally told me not to read your comic book.
Yeah, and then they get to the end and they say, see, we told you, you shouldn't have read the comic book. This is the comic book equivalent of There's a Monster at the End of This Book, starring lovable old Grover.
That's right.
Where he tells you, don't turn the page! If you turn the page, there'll be a monster at the end of this book! And you keep moving, and you keep going, and he tries to tie ropes around the pages, and of course, the reader is stronger than the ropes, and the reader knocks down the brick wall. And not only are you very strong, you're also making a big mess. And you get to the end of the book, and spoilers, the monster at the end of the book is Grover.
The Watcher.
And then there's a sequel, two monsters at the end of this book, starring Elmo and Grover. And then you find out that the other monster is, of course, Elmo, but...
It's time for dad time with Ben.
Yeah. So you get to the end of the book, and they're basically... I mean, this is where you get into some of the metatextual stuff, some of the metafictional stuff, where, yes, if you had not read this, Matt, none of this would have ever happened. See? If you had stopped reading when they told you to, everything would have been avoided in your universe, in your head.
The three of us are the villains of this comic.
Well, okay, the DC universe in your brain has just been corrupted. Or I shouldn't say the DC universe, the 52 universes, which includes major comics, those universes have been corrupted because you read this book. And so now in your head, as far as canon goes, as far as continuity goes, you have to keep reading, and hopefully the characters can undo the damage that you have done by continuing to read.
Yeah, good job, Matt.
Sorry, guys.
So what basically, Matt, you have encouraged two other universes to potentially be destroyed if Daniel and I don't continue to read the story. The new... Okay. Yeah.
So we did say we're going to spoil this book, but we're not going to spoil anything in actual Marvel comics. But I think I should say this, that in Avengers and New Avengers, no spoilers here, but they are dealing with an incident happening in their multiverse as well. And so in the same way we've seen alternate Marvel characters here in Multiversity, we've seen alternate DC characters happening over in the Avengers titles. So is it possible?
Are we reading a crossover?
Are they doing a secret undercover crossover?
No.
It's happened before.
It has, but it hasn't been this big. It's been sneaky.
It has been sneaky.
I don't believe that's the case, but it's weird that they're both focusing on this at this exact time, and they're both wrapping things up. I mean, literally, both of these storylines, they've already announced the endings of them, and both DC and Marvel are wrapping things up April 2015. Not wrapping up their lines, of course, just these specific multiverse stories.
That would be the ideal time for Disney to buy DC.
It'd be a great time. And, you know, and I look forward to DC's Disney owners putting Superman and Batman in the park for a meet and greet, waiting 45 minutes to an hour to get my pictures with them. The kids are going to get their pictures. I'm going to get an individual picture, too.
Daniel, I don't want DC to be owned by Disney. Do you?
I want everything I love to be owned by Disney.
No, because competition breeds...
No, I just want my money to go to one place.
We've had this conversation. I don't remember where. But yeah, competition breeds better storytelling.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Yeah, I would hate that. If DC and Marvel were owned by the same people, everybody would ultimately hate that.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about it. But, yeah, so Multiversity...
Where did it land? I'm for it. I'll give it a ranking out of 5 of a really strong, I want to say strong 3.5 to a 4. That's how much I liked it.
Okay. Daniel?
I'm going to give you a surprising ranking.
Let's hear it.
Sit down.
I'm already sitting.
I'm going to give this a 3.
Wow.
That's where I was going. I was going to a 3.
Yeah, but you guys didn't expect me to do a 3.
No.
I didn't honestly expect us to do rankings, so I wasn't expecting anyone. But, yeah, I would go with a 3, too. I'm ambivalent about it. I mean, it's interesting, and it could be good, especially as you're getting these individual issues in the upcoming issues of new other universes. And I do think they'll be tied in a little more strongly than you expect.
Boys, I have a question for you. So the listeners out there, they want to know, are we going to be covering Multiversity month after month?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. Daniel, are you with me?
I am uncommitted.
All right.
I think I'm going to read this stuff. I just don't know if we want to do an episode about this every month.
All right. I'll just have to do it on my solo episodes.
Maybe. Or we could come back to this, you know, after we have the individual issues, you know, and kind of do an episode about the individual issues and then do a wrap-up episode about Multiversity number 2.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe. All
right. Who knows? Maybe we'll ask the listeners to tell us what they want.
You can ask the listeners.
You can ask the listeners. You yeah. ask the listeners.
Matt, you ask the listeners.
Hello, listeners. This is Matt Anderson. I just wanted to say, I hope that you're with me, that you're reading this book, Multiversity. Actually, it's called The Multiversity. So if you want us here at the Comic Book Time Machine to be covering it on a month-by-month basis, let us know at feedback@comicbooktimemachine.com. Or if you want us to do this other plan where we come back sporadically and let you know what's going on, let us know at feedback@comicbooktimemachine.com. I think that says it all.
I think that's good. Yeah. I'm not against it. If the listeners are really for it, then I wouldn't be against it. Let's put it that way. I would be for it before I'm against it. So, yeah. So, anything else to say here?
I just want to hear Daniel say those sweet words that we end the show with.
Do we need to plug anything first?
Oh, sure. Well, I like you guys' podcast, Welcome to Level 7. You want to tell people how it looks?
Were you saying, what do you want to plug here, Daniel?
Well, we need to remind people that they can find us at comicbooktimemachine.com.
It's true. You can.
We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're at Comic Time.
We're still working on MySpace. We're trying to get cool enough to be accepted to MySpace.
I don't know if podcasts are there yet.
Yeah, well.
It'd be cool if they were.
It would. We could do a lot of stuff there. So, but until then, be safe, kids. Make good choices.